Welcome to the Wombat House. This is HVCC, and we're happy and excited to hear John Buney share with us tonight. Say hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Okay, you, lights, camera, action, you're on, John.
Okay. Let's see, where do we start? So, Susan and I and Kristen were at Bench last Thursday night, and we were just kind of doing the work that we do and trying to step into heaven and from heaven try to perceive what God was doing, and we were trying to get a mandate and do some of the things that she's taught us to do, and we worked on it for quite a little while, and you know, what I think we actually went on the Sea of Glass, and Melchizedek was going to come out and hand us something that we could trade on the Sea of Glass if we wanted to. So we all contributed, and I saw something. And then later, I kind of felt self-revelatory. I wanted to reveal something about myself. So I said to them, I said, you know, sometimes I'm just not sure if I'm, you know, if I'm really seeing or hearing God's voice. I just don't have confidence that, you know, that I sort of have these doubts. And so Kristen cocked her head and gave me one of those looks that I fear because it means she's going to call me out on something. So she looked at Susan and said, we've heard this story before, haven't we, Susan? So they both agreed that I've expressed this before, and Kristen and I have had some dialogues about it. So she was sort of pondering, and she was probably getting overloaded with all kinds of things. But she grabbed three pieces of paper, and she laid them on the table in front of me, and she said, what would you need, write three things that you would need to feel comfortable in that seat that you're sitting on, meaning a seat on the bench. So I thought about it for a while, and I said, well, she made me write them down. She said, write them down. So I pondered it for a while, and I said, I need the ability to hear what the Father's saying, and I need the ability to see what the Father's doing, and I need confidence. So I wrote those three down on there, and then I think she just kind of pondered, but pretty soon she came forth and said, you know what I see? I see a big anvil sitting right on those three things, on those three cards. So she basically said, that means that something is holding you down from those three things. You're being limited because there's this heavy weight sitting on top of these three things that you need. And so she said, often when that happens, that often can mean that there's a giant on your mountain that's holding you back. And I've heard her talk about that before. Sometimes when you just feel blocked, like you just can't have a breakthrough, that oftentimes it's a giant that represents something that's holding you back. So she said, do you want to take care of that tonight? I said, sure, let's go take care of it. So she said, kind of like Susan alluded to, well, do you want to take care of this yourself, or do you want me to give you some anchors so that you can kind of, I'll help you along? And I said, yeah, I need some help. So she kind of led me through asking what right does this giant have to be there to hold these down, and we went through a process of repentance and forgiveness and some different things, which I wish I had recorded just so I'd have it. So then she asked me, well, what do you see the giant? And so I kind of like Susan's talking, I used my imagination, and I felt like, yeah, I see the giant there, and he doesn't have any hair, and he's green, and kind of reminds me of an ogre. And she said, well, what do you want to do with it? And so I was familiar enough with procedures that I thought, well, I know I'm supposed to cut his head off, and then I've been taught that then you slice open his belly and see what he's stolen from you. So she said, well, do you have your sword? And I said, yeah. She says, where is it? And I said, well, it's on the scabbard at my side, because I was on my mountain at this point and accessing my tools from being on my mountain. So we cut the giant's head off, and then we sliced him open, and she asked me, she said, well, what are you supposed to do when you slice him open? And I said, well, you're supposed to recover whatever he stole. It usually comes out of his belly. She said, well, do you see anything? And I felt like I saw a goblet, and I felt like I saw a scroll. So she said, well, she kind of said, why don't you ask Jesus what he wants you to do with those? So I did, and I felt like Jesus was saying, I want you to keep that goblet, and I want you to clean it up eventually. And then I asked her, what do you want to do with my scroll? And she said, does he want you to read it now or later? And I said, well, I feel like not necessarily read it now. So she said, well, she suggested, well, put it into your heart so that it'll resonate there. And at some point, the Lord's going to tell you what's on that scroll. And then she kind of proceeded to lead me to say, well, is there anything else? Ask Jesus if there's anything else that he wants to bring up. And or is there anything he wants to say? Now, let me check my notes here. I heard him say, believe in God, believe also in me. And then I heard him say, I have chosen you, everything I have is yours. And then I heard that I have received strength, confidence, and hope are the three things that he gave me that I received. So that's kind of where that ended. And then I took it home, and the next morning I decided I kind of went through my pathway just to establish myself as being beyond the veil. And then I went before the ark and decided to process that. So I used the tabernacle in the wilderness as my example. I offered my body as a living sacrifice. Then I went through the next veil into the holy place and offered myself on the altar of incense to make sure that I had asked for the refining fire of heaven. So I was, because then you get to step through the veil before the ark. Now, you don't necessarily have to go through that. That's Old Testament, but that's one way for me to make sure that I've dealt with it all. And so then one of the things in the holy place is the showbread, which is a type, a shadow of Christ. So a lot of times at that point, I'll take communion. And what I heard was, when I stepped through there, I decided to embrace the four faces of God, and I wasn't sure which one I wanted to sort of try to see through his eyes. So I chose the king, because this is ruling and reigning stuff we're talking about here from your mountain. So I was looking through the eyes of the lion, the king, and making a declaration and asking the king to put his authorization on it. So what I did is I basically got what I felt was a mandate, and then I wrote out a declaration. So what I wrote was, I declare my ability to properly discern the Father's voice, to hear his voice, and to see what the Father is doing in heaven, and to have confidence in who I am in him. That ability is no longer being held down by the enemy, which represented that anvil sitting on that. And I declared that strength and confidence, hope, have been released to me by Jesus. I declare that God has chosen me, and that everything he has is mine. I declared this, and I asked the Father to put his seal on it. So at that point, Jesus came forward and put his seal on that, and then I then declared it and released the sound of this declaration. I gave it to my angels to proclaim it from heaven. I have since recognized the need to take it and get it recorded, so I have subsequently taken it to the court of scribes and had it recorded, and then got it back. But then right after that happened, I continued then with my time with the Lord, and I asked him what he wanted me to do with the goblet that I took out of the giant's belly. And he said, and I'd heard that he wants me to clean it up and take communion. So I immediately thought, well, where do I have a goblet? So I remembered that in our little corner of Breakfront, I think I had the goblets that Janelle and I used at our wedding. So I wanted to have an actual goblet. So I went in there and got them, and we haven't used them, probably not even once, since we were married. So there's 44 years of tarnish on those two goblets.
They're silver?
Uh-huh. So I took them out, wow. And I decided to use those, and I used the wine that I was particularly using for communion, and I took the bread, and I sat there for a while and sort of went through my routine with that, and I noticed that in the goblet where the wine was sitting, it was starting to clean. The blood of Christ was cleaning that goblet. So I hesitated. I actually went out and put the whole, what I had left, to fill it up fuller and let it sit for a while as I kind of prayed and processed it. then I didn't want to waste it, so I poured it back into my bottle, but the inside of it was cleaner. So then I went ahead and took communion with that. And subsequently, I got up and I went and checked in our cleaning cupboards and found some silver cleaning. So I completely cleaned the whole cup, and I cleaned Janelle's too. I cleaned hers too, because Kristen has encouraged me when I go, like, there's a communion prayer that we got from Mike's church that talks about the DNA. And I said to Kristen one time, I said, gosh, I sure wish Janelle could embrace this prayer with me. And he says, well, you can do it on her behalf because you're one flesh. So you can declare that you're doing this on her behalf. So I went ahead then and cleaned her goblet out too, and got them to be completely shiny. So that's now my communion goblets. So that was sort of a prophetic act to seal what God had told me to do. So I have yet to unpack the scroll, but that's what happened. And what I found easier than I expected, what I'm beginning to sense the power of, it is when you write it, when you get a declaration, and when you write it down, and when it becomes written and you get it recorded and have it declared, and then you have your copy of it, which I have my copy of it right here, it just takes on a whole new aspect of power within the kingdom, that you can declare that. And I actually gave it to my angels and had them declare it. I gave it to my angels and had them declare it. So there's just, that's kind of a new perspective. So there you go.
So in your mandate, did you feel like that possibly you wanted to share the activation tool with the group? Was that part or not?
Now, the activation tool meaning?
The cards. That's the activation, they're using three cards and asking the Lord.
Yeah, I can, if I share, I don't think I have enough of a confidence in the flow and the words that we use to actually do that.
Did you have an activation that the Lord gave you?
I'm not sure what you mean.
Something that we can engage with.
In regard to strength and confidence, and a little unlost.
No, all I can say is that I could visualize it. It just in my conversation. So yeah, I'm not sure if I had got anything tangible.
Okay.
Yeah. That, to me, the goblet was the most tangible.
That's activation. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
That was absolutely beautiful.
Now I do have the three cards, so I may revisit those at some point.
The three cards that say strength and confidence.
Yeah, that I wrote down on.
I just want to make sure I understand.
One was confidence, and one was hearing his voice and seeing what he was doing, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. That, I was jumping to the result that the Lord gave you strength.
So, I apologize. Did I cut you off in flow there? Mm-hmm. Were you completed in your thought?
I was completed.
So, is it all right with you if I run us through that activation, since we have a testimony of what it's accomplished?
Yes, especially since you're recording it.
Yes.
Yes, so that would be good.
So he had some things that were concerning him that were blocking him. Mm-hmm. And Kristen took him through an activation by asking him the questions. Write down three words. What three things are keeping you from feeling confident sitting in that chair
What would you need? What would you need to feel confident sitting in that chair?
And he wrote down three things, and then we activated it. We went into court. We took care of it. We did it. And so what she's asking us now to do is something very similar that we're going to, for each one of us, do an activation like that.
Oh, okay.
So, Joe, do you want another piece of paper?
Oh, what three things do you need?
There we go. You certainly can do it there. So, do you need a pen there, Steve?
No.
You got one?
want actual paper, you can use your... That was a beautiful, beautiful testimony. Okay, so
Is it sitting in a new place? I'm curious, or is it back where it was?
I put it back where it was, but my intention would be to use it for communion for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm going to go ahead. I feel prompted to turn this off. Yes. Okay.